Yes, you are now listening to the sounds of Sports Reports as Ordered. And we got Jersey in the house.
You're
the one and only, the world renowned, born in Texas, raised in VA. He is Mr. Lottie. And do me a favor out there. Don't bring feelings to a fat fight.
Don't do it.
But respect New Jersey because they got soul. Rutgers University has the largest jazz library in the world. What up, Boney James? And then, of course, you got me, your unorthodox statistician, coming to you live from the Alamo. I do believe in Joe Hendry. I go left so much that you thought I was southpaw. I am 2-5. Tonight, we're going to talk about Demetrius Ja Morant. We got some thoughts on that. We're going to try to solve tanking in the NBA.
True.
And of course, tomorrow, there is chalk everywhere. All the number one seeds. Final four. Let's get it. Like,
review,
subscribe, share, rate, do all the free things. Do all the good things. And while you're doing the good things, grab you a liquid death. Yes, sir. And Mr. Logical, speaking of New Jersey, my son got a letter in the mail from Seton Hall today. You know what I'm saying? Holla back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, up in East Orange.
You know what I'm saying? But yo, so I've been watching basketball this week, and I've been trying to keep up with all the scoring, but all I see is Ja Morant going poo-poo. and look, man, look, I like to have fun. I like to fuck around, all that good stuff, right? But I hate, absolutely despise when people say, well, he did it, or LeBron did it, and Austin Reeves did it, and Buddy Hield. I don't care. Just because they did something and got away with it don't mean you should repeat that behavior. If you come out here and beat on some girl and you didn't go to jail for it, that don't mean I get to beat on a girl and be like, he didn't go to jail. Why am I going to jail? Because I'm responsible for myself. Ja is responsible for himself.
Factual.
And none of those people got the record that he got, so to speak. Not that he's a real criminal and all that.
Yeah, it's not a real criminal. And that's,
he did, he did like beat up the kid and all that.
That kid probably deserved it. Who knows? No one knows. I mean, you're getting a fist fight at a basketball game. Yeah, it's probably not a good idea to fight a minor. My problem is this. Like, I have a good friend of mine. Shout out to Jerry Montgomery, South Carolina's own. He said, listen, man, my sister went to high school with Ja Morant.
Yeah.
He's like, his dad used to cut hair in the neighborhood. People knew who he was. He had a nice, good country life. And it's all fun. My problem is that I talked about this a couple of times. Like, me and Rachel were watching this show, and the character just kept lying. Like, you needed help, you needed this information, but the character kept lying. And like, when people just keep lying, it bothers me. And I get it. If you get caught red-handed in some situation and you try to lie your way out of it, I understand. Listen, you want your freedom, you do whatever you gotta do to get your freedom. I don't like when people lie to perpetuate like a personality or stereotype or trick that they don't possess and expect people to go along with it. And because it's fraudulent, you start doing extra over-the-top stuff. Like, the video, like, all the stuff you got in trouble with the gun, you know, you're allowed to own a gun in the United States, Second Amendment, that's your prerogative. My problem was the Instagram video where his boy cut over to him and he was flexing with the gun and then came out later that it's a lighter. Okay, if it's a lighter, why are you fronting like it's a real gun for your boy's Instagram live who had like a few hundred followers? So it's like,
forget,
he was already Pacers. In trouble.
Remember, yeah. There was the incident with the Pacers where allegedly crew waved guns.
But okay, with that I don't want to justify that, but it's like, okay, that's their knucklehead behavior. They were trying to act tough. But right. You were trying to act tough with a fake gun. This only perpetuates the cycle. Like, you were not that guy.
Clarence.
Because as soon as you got hemmed up for it, he was like, yo, what's a lighter? And then he had that little BS video where he lit the candle with the gun. I'm like, that's not making it better. The problem is you don't, I don't know who he listens to in his camp, but his camp is not talking to him like, listen, there's more of you in this league. You haven't had, you don't have the cachet to be irreplaceable. Anthony Edwards is already on. Anthony Edwards already been in movies on Netflix.
Man, I was about to bring him up too.
Jason Tatum is already on Championship. Jaylen Brown is on. Jaylen Brown has the same basketball time, effort, cachet, contract. He teaches classes at MIT and Harvard in the summer. So you can do basketball and then do something that's not quote unquote street and still have credibility on the basketball court, because that's the only place you really need people who see you, who don't know you, to give you any credibility, for lack of a better word. Like, all I need to know if you're a good basketball player or not. Like, I don't need you to give me this story like you have all this other street shit going on. Cause like at the end of the day, if you're not playing basketball, I'm not gonna follow you doing street stuff. So like, you seem to be a good basketball player. You don't have to like perpetuate this other stereotype and this non-element to your existence just for kicks. So keep doing that. The shooting thing, it's like, you know, you have a literally, pardon the pun, a target on your back, and you're doing this is like, you're not buttoned up against the system. You're not fighting against an inequality in the NBA. It's like, they're telling you not to do gun signals after you make a shot. Just don't do it.
Well, you know, it's funny that you brought up Anthony Edwards, because I was going to bring that up too. Like, the NBA has had an awful year as far as narratives and talk about the game coverage, you know. So we were all talking about the All-Star game and how bad it was. You know, before that, we were talking about how they only talk about two or three topics or two or three people throughout the whole league. Correct. So then from there, you know, you got Anthony Edwards out here doing whatever he's doing with these baby mamas. And cool, that happened off the court, but it's still a stain on the league. You know what I mean? It's still a product that you're trying to sell to the public, and these are the side stories. I think so, but not on its own, not on its own, but when you put it all together, you know, because the NBA is already getting negative coverage as it is, and a lot of the coverage has nothing to do with basketball. You know, whether it's LeBron versus Stephen A. Smith, whether it's KD going at people on Twitter, it's always something other than the basketball. So, like, if I was Adam Silver, you know, who's pretty toothless, it seems, pretty spineless, it seems.
He's a players commissioner.
He's a punk.
But he's also an owner's. The owners have everybody has leverage on him.
Right.
The owners have leverage on them. The players do. So it's basically, he'll go to one room and they'll say, you're going to do all this. And then he comes back and he goes to the middle, goes to the podium, demands that the players have to do whatever because the owner says so. And then he'll go to the other room with the players, and the players are like, listen, we not doing this. And then he'll go back to the middle and say, hey, talk with the players. The players are only going to wear their own shoes whenever they want, and they're only gonna they want 72 bottles of Gatorade on the sideline, so we're gonna make that happen. And the owner's like, yo, what the hell? He's like, then he go, so like, he just plays like pickleball with his emotions, and they play him to that fact. But some of that stuff he can't control.
No, but
I think the narrative that the NBA is like, I don't think there's that much bad press in NBA. I think it's just not widespread.
Well, no,
I think they need to do more, like, to highlight other players.
Well, we were talking about the coverage of the league, mostly done by older players, mostly done by inside the NBA. You know, so the product is being shit on, and then you turn around and you got these type of stories. And I'm not saying that Adam Silver needs to suspend Ja Morant or anything, you know, crazy like that. You know, so there's two things you could do. You either ban that celebration, or you call Ja as the commissioner and just have a conversation and say, look, you've already been in trouble. You've been suspended. you got to be smart enough to not do these things. Like, what you're doing is probably harmless in the grand scheme, but you got these targets on your back from things that have happened that you brought up before. So from that standpoint, I need you to take care of yourself. You know, saying there's only so much I can protect you. And I need his daddy or somebody, you know, sitting next to everybody, a Bella Danger, you know, everybody, at the game.
Yeah.
You know, sitting next to a Bella Danger. I ain't even going to hate on that. But I'm just saying, like, you know, your dad, like, dad, go talk
his
to his
dad's on the take.
I mean, his dad was out here trying to find Uncle Shay, right?
His dad, I don't think that's smoke you want. Basketball players always think they can fight. It's like, let's dog, you run and jump. None of that's going to help you in a fight unless you can jump kick. So you weigh 195, stay out of these street fights with Shannon Sharp, even with them bad knees and hips. He can still get a grapple on you. I think T. Morant is like living the ultimate basketball dad reality. He's living vicariously through his son's success. And I'm with it. You know, if my son is able to continue his success through all the sports that he plays. Like today, they had a great lacrosse game against a crosstown rival. It's always great because the parents always end up cussing each other out. Every time we play this school, no matter what the sport is, we just have a rivalry at any age. You go hear mom cuss another mom out when we play against Seneca. It just happens every time. They won a tough game, but I wouldn't argue with another parent talk about how good my son is compared to his son. I wouldn't be on the sideline drinking and acting up knowing that my son is going through a public image crisis. You know, maybe I'm in the booth with the owner. Maybe I'm showing like, hey, we have a different connection with this team in this city than just me getting the limelight, sitting courtside with porn stars and other celebrities, sitting next to Usher, whatever the case. And I think sometimes we just need to shine too much. And it's like, yo, that shine comes with that highlights some stuff. And then when you start getting picked at, now you feel like you're being targeted. It's like, no, you are acting like a target. Like, I'll tell you something real quick. I sent this video to Rachel this week because we walked around New York City and they played a video to some convicts of like people just walking, like an hour long footage of just people walking back and forth from the same spot. And they were like, which people would you go after? And they picked people who deliberately did certain, or that weren't deliberate in their actions. Like, this person is not paying attention, I'd go after them. This person is on their phone, head down, I'd go after them. But the person who's standing up upright, understanding the situation, understanding brevity of the situation, paying attention, that person doesn't get targeted. That person's Jaylen Brown. That person's Jason Tatum. That person is Shay. That person is Austin Reeves. All these guys have access to the same things that are corrupting these guys and making them act a certain way. And it's not happening for every team. Kawhi Leonard's not in any scandals. Hell, even Paul George, never in anything. James Harden is always in the limelight. He's always out with rappers. Never has any of these problems. It's like he understands, like, listen, the main thing is basketball. That gives me access to these other things. And T. Morant has to tell Johnny, like, Johnny, you have access to everything you need. You have a Nike deal already. Your shoes should be dropping. You have the same type of shoe that people like. You have more positive things going on via basketball, even with all the stuff especially you have going on.
The reason that he has that shoe deal is because of the whole drama with Kyrie. So you were kind of gifted that.
You were gifted a shoe deal. That was probably just like the design. I don't think it was a very Kyrie-like design, but it was close. It just didn't have like a strap or anything on it. But needless to say, you have that deal. So it was like, you have the contract extension you have the rookie extension that was bigger than Zion Williamson, who went number one. So they already showed you then, we're going to pay you more than the guy that got drafted ahead of you. You know, so it's so many things. I think the coach doesn't give you that many touches. If you shot 51% from the field versus 43, you'd average 28 to 29 points.
You know what's crazy about what you just said? Ja Morant has not played in 10 straight games in 3 years. 2022 was the last time that Ja Morant played in 10 consecutive games. So I don't want to hear anything about his touches or lack thereof. Be on the court. Let me know that I can trust you. and I will put the ball in your hands. If you're not going to be on the court, how can I trust you?
I got to see who else can handle the ball when you're not around.
Who else can handle the ball? And I got Scottie Pippen Jr. back here who can play. So, you know, so that's the thing, right? It's all about accountability. It's about being a man. It's not necessarily about we're going to judge you, we're going to trash you, or any of those type of things. Like, you're doing these things. Like, nobody's going out of their way to find a
reason. There's no reports of your locker room behavior. This is stuff that you're putting on camera in HD during timeouts and during moments.
And Draymond Green, give me a break running over to the ref like that, too.
Dry snitching.
You know what I'm saying?
Actually, yeah, it was like a wet snitch.
It was like, Steph's face was hilarious during the whole thing. But then Buddy Hill was doing it right back at him. So, you know what I mean? It was just – so I don't know what's going on. But, you know, I don't like that stuff anyway because in the NFL, you know, they were doing that. You know, Drake London, when he scored that touchdown against Philly to win the game, did the – you know, and Kyren Lacy, yeah. That was the thing that Kyren Lacy did. So, like, and that's the other thing about it, right? Like, why are you doing the same celebrations as everybody else anyway? Do something
when
that's
you're not violent.
And you're violent. Not,
like, you don't have to be
violent. Yeah, like, if Draymond walks valuable. Around doing like this, like that, you know what I'm saying? That makes sense. If he walks around with the choke hold, that makes sense. We saw him choke Rudy Gobert. You know what I mean?
Like he did this, like if he was doing this because he always kicking people in the neck.
Yeah, like you know what I mean?
Like if he did that? Sense.
Get your own celebration. It doesn't have to involve a gun. You know, because regardless of what you want, there are kids looking up to you. You know, there are kids asking their parents for your jersey. You know what I'm saying? So the only thing you're affecting is you. And potentially your bottom line. You know what I'm saying? It's what it boils down to. So, Mr. Logical.
Yeah.
Memphis let go of their coach last week. Some people said, oh, they throwing the season away. You got teams out here like Utah getting fined $100,000 for not playing Lauri Markkanen. You know, you got talk all over the TV. Is Washington going to get the number one pick? Is Charlotte going to get the number one pick? How can we stop tanking?
Can't. I think you have an idea that says you can, and that's why I said you can't. Because
I got a couple ideas.
Because you already have provisions in place to fine teams for sitting guys who shouldn't sit. You have injury report violations that cost teams money, sitting the guy when he isn't injured. All that stuff is going to cost you money. But ultimately, the wins and losses are going to dictate your position. No matter what you do, losing is always going to help you in the end when it comes to where you pick in the following year's draft. Because you want parity in the league, which is the ultimate. Having parity in your league is what every commissioner wants. You want a superstar team. You want a superstar player and a big market, and that team be successful. That's one check mark.
Right.
You want a good rival for that said team, and they have a marketable superstar.
Mm-hmm.
You want your young players to pop immediately. This is any sport, because you want young fans to identify with the young player and buy the young player's jersey. And now they follow that player through their career. You want all these things to pop. And you want parity. You don't want the same teams every year. Like, the Nuggets have Jokic, and they're going to be in the mix every year.
Every single
year. But if we still were in this era where that run where you had Cavs versus Warriors, if that went on for 7 years, the league would not be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to find a way to get these teams that are at the bottom. Those players. So it's never easy, and it's not a guarantee. If you look at football, we talked about the Lovie Smith situation in Houston when he decided to go for two in the win and they fired him and then end up getting the number two pick instead of number one. Football is very clear. Like, okay, you got the worst record, you're gonna get the best opportunity to draft first. In basketball, there's still a good percentage. And you're going to talk about like what the players, teams, the bottom team, so 30, 29, and 28 have the same odds of landing number one pick. So I just feel like if you keep the odds where they are, it's good to go because their teams are still going to try it.
Right.
You know, and that's why I think you can't stop tanking, because if I draft the guy in the second round and I send him to Europe for like 6 months and I bring him over, you can't tell me that I can't bring a guy over and let him start in a game in April.
I think you can. You just got to be drastic. Drastic times call for drastic measures. So, like, you brought up the NFL, and like you said, like, but the thing with the NFL is if I pick 19 and I have a team need, I can still get a guy that can make Pro Bowls and all that kind of stuff. You know, whereas in the NBA, you got your LeBron and Wades and people like that at the top of the draft. So in the NBA, you don't want to be the treadmill team like the Atlanta Hawks are and used to be. Where you might get an 8 seed, or you might make a 7 seed, you might make the play in, you know, but then you cost yourself because you're going to get a pick in the middle of the draft instead of at the top. So I thought about this. So, you know, back in the day, you know, the worst record got the most lottery balls, you know, and it was all divvied up by record. Now they changed it to where the first three teams, or like you said, the first three teams get the same odds. So what if you just take away the odds? You know, what if every team just gets a ball and you just literally take a ball out?
So you got 30 teams.
Well, no. Just the lottery.
The 14. The so 14 teams.
Yeah, you just put them all in there and you just grab them. Whoever comes out, you go that way. All
right. I like that idea. Let me do some quick math. I probably missed a few teams, but I'm going to go east because they probably have the most. So that would put the Wizards, Hornets. So that's two. No, I'm just going to east right now. I'm just counting the east.
Okay.
I'm trying to get the 14 total teams. So Wizards, Hornets, Sixers, Nets, Raptors.
Yeah.
Those five teams in the east are less than 30 wins.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we go west, you have Spurs at 32, Pelicans, so that's 7, Jazz, 8. Give me the Suns, and who else on the East?
Portland, still, you forgot
Bulls,
Portland.
Heat. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so, but the, so you got 9 through 15 in the East, and then basically 11 through 15 in the West. Those are probably pretty much your worst records. I think the Kings are still trying to win, but they made some trades.
Right.
You can put them all in there, one ball. So you got Cooper Flagg potentially going to Miami because Miami gets the number one pick. So what happens when Charlotte just – and I know it's not the fault of the NBA, but the NBA still needs that person to be successful. It's like the NBA has 30 children. You have to love all your children as best you can. Some of them are going to perform better and you're going to highlight them more. Like everybody drawing can't go on a refrigerator, but like – OKC's drawings going on the refrigerator. Jokic's performance is going on the refrigerator. Giannis Antetokounmpo 20 assists is going on the refrigerator like that. So, but LaMelo Ball's trying. He's doing his thing. He got the little stick figure. Maybe we get that at the bottom of the fridge for a couple of days. You got to cater to your whole league because you don't want to end up like baseball where you got the Colorado Rockies owner on TV pleading, talking about,
I just want y'all to be competitive. Easier. Like some of these teams, like Washington, like Charlotte, like Utah, y'all are already bad enough that you don't have to tank. You know what I'm saying? You're just tanking because you want the number one pick, but you're bad enough that if you played your hardest for all 82 games, you still might win 21 games. You know what I mean? So tanking is just a slap in the league's face.
So your resolution says, listen,
that's one of my resolutions.
The bottom 14. So that puts us go, you know, so bottom 14 teams, you get one ball and
whatever order it comes out. Number 14.
So you get one
number
13, tank.
Number 12.
So you get one tank and 14 balls in it.
Yep.
And it's just like a draft.
It's all about luck.
So you get 14 balls in there and the Raptors, boom. And they go from 14 to 1.
Yep.
Like credit card roulette. That's how we play credit card roulette. You put all the cards in a hat, and then the last card in the hat has to pay for the meal. So instead of being like, oh, we were the worst ones, I got my card off. No. So like the last one gets
the number one pick. Because realistically, theoretically speaking, If you didn't make the playoffs, you need help anyway. You know, if you didn't make the playoffs, you need to be better. So Washington and Utah playing the way that they play, you don't deserve to get the number one pick. So if you get it, fine. You got it. It was fair. You know what I mean? But if you don't get it, then you don't need to tank. You just play basketball and let the chips fall where they may. You know, that's the way I look at it. You know what I'm saying? So that's number one. Number two.
Okay.
Number two. If you finish in the top five 2 years in a row. So this is after the fact. If you finish top five 2 years in a row,
record, like Cleveland when they got Bennett and they when they got Bennett and Kyrie,
right.
And
the third year, the third year, if you're in the lottery,
you're automatically 15.
You're automatically 14 or yeah, whatever the last number is. Yeah.
Oh, you're automatically. Oh, you're automatically the last number in the lottery.
Yes. I'm just throwing you at. I'm throwing you in the last spot because
I like that one
because you've benefited off of being sorry for the last 2 years, and we got free agency. So if you want it to be good, yes, you're waiting for Cooper Flagg. Yes, you're waiting for Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper. But if you want it to be better, you'd have got some better free agents too because we got that going on. Now, I know that's not necessarily an option for some teams like Utah. You know what I mean? Utah is not going to get Kawhi Leonard as a free agent.
For some reason, a lot of NBA players, they flat out say out loud, I'm not going to Utah.
Right. So I'm sensitive to that, you know. You know, we love Utah. I'm sensitive to that. But yeah. At the same time, I can't allow you to purposely.
It's not a party town.
Throw your season away. I can't allow you to throw your season away with no consequences. And that's the real problem is that there's no consequences. So, yes, this happens after the fact. But I gave you two shots to get in this lottery. If you still can't be good that third year.
So you're saying if you as an organization drafted twice. No, okay. You earned
right. If you had a bottom five record 2 years in a row,
then the next year. So not doesn't even matter where you end up in the with the picks, or you're using one plan and not the other. So you're just saying, hey, you're for instance the Wizards. This is probably this is gonna be their second consecutive year drafting top five.
It does. You know what I'm saying? The Beehive State.
The Beehive State. So this is your second consecutive year drafting in the top five. Next year, you can't draft in the top five.
Correct. So I'm putting you at the end of the lottery. You're just last. You're at the end. Because I gave you, you got two top five picks, and you got free agency. If you can't turn around to finish sixth from the worst.
Yeah, you can't be a play-in team after two consecutive years of
So this would have stopped what Philly did. This would have stopped the whole trust the process thing.
The trust the process was disrespectful because it was basically like the record their record would be 0-0 and they're like, yo, we're not gonna be good this year. How do you know?
Right.
Jump shots go in when you have talented players in the NBA, run plays for them to get open looks. And see what happens.
Hey, I told you right before we came on here.
Get to 112 points and see if you can. Just get to 110 points. Can we make it to 110 and keep a team under 109 47 times a year? Like, that's all you really got to do. That's a good season. 47-35 is a quality season for a rebuilding team. I think the problem is teams give up. Mm-hmm. Because there's no championship aspirations. Yo, only one out of 30 is going to win. Only two are going to play in that final round. So if you even break it down even more than that, only one from your conference. Mm-hmm. So you are one of 15 to even play for the chance to be the one of the 30. So why not have a good year? You got people paying $330 a ticket, 18,000 seats. Put a good season out there. I think these coaches would keep their jobs if teams will kind of understand like their expectation management. But it's like, you're not going to win that many games. So tanking in January, knowing like, you know what, we're going to shut it down.
Philly this year might be a little different just because they actually did have injuries. You know, they lost their best player. So like, it's a little different. But that works.
But it's like because they have the injuries, but you also don't have a team like Wizards and Charlotte, just even worse behind them.
Right. Well, see,
with all healthy players.
So like Philly lost Embiid, Paul George was hurt throughout the year. You know, Maxey was hurt throughout the year. But now you're just at a point where we're out of playoff contention. I'm not playing them. Okay, whatever. Fans are still paying for that. You know, playing for a half. I don't know. But then you have a team like Charlotte, right? Brandon Miller got hurt very early in the season. You know, Mark Williams, he was hurt. Then you had the drama with him going to the Lakers. Oh, no, he's not a Laker. So there are circumstances, but you just got to draw a hard line. Just like we talked about the 65-game rule, where, like, if you want MVP or any of these awards, you have to play 65 games. That's harsh to some degree because dudes get hurt. So theoretically, you should have a fail-safe in there of if you suffer a legitimate injury and that causes you, I can waive that to some degree. But if you're just not playing, because like I've seen things like,
I don't like the 65 game rule.
I like it.
I think the voters should just be able to look at it and be like, yo, you only played 55 games.
Let me rephrase. I don't necessarily like it per se, but the players put them in that position. Like, just like we were talking about Ja Morant, right? Like, you're acting this way, doing these things, you're going to bring attention to yourself. So when these guys are sitting out, and I know sometimes the team probably had a lot to do with that. You know, the owner or whoever came down and was like, yo, LeBron's sitting out tonight. He's 40 years old. Whatever the case may be. So, like, you ain't going to punish the owner. You know what I mean? Like, you can't punish the owner.
I think the NBA players, with that 65-game rule being put in place, I'm not sure when their CBA was actually agreed upon.
I want to say it was 2019 or 2020.
So this rule got put into place, I'm going to say, before the 2023-2024 season?
Probably. Like,
So
it was 2023. It was April 2023.
Yeah, okay. So that was the 2023-2024 season. But you had a guy like Tyrese Halliburton who had a clause in his contract that said you can get this level of a max contract if you get X, Y, and Z points. It's like, well, take that out of my contract, because when I signed his contract, the 65-game provision wasn't a league
Where the lawyers come in, and that's where it got to get messy. But the players always agree to this shit. The players are like, hey, let me smoke some weed. But, nah, I don't care. Like, 65 games, sure. That's on the players.
Yeah, because like I said, these guys are ruining their extension. Like, right. Ja Morant, whatever his suspension or something happened with him, he missed out on a Supermax because he wasn't first team. He didn't make an all-pro team.
Right.
Or all NBA teams.
He missed the first 25 games last year. So he was done, you know, before he even stepped on the court. And then he got hurt after nine.
But even before then, he had a stipulation in his contract where he had to make an all-pro team.
Job is that to himself.
Don't put that. So, like, if you're going to put stipulations on how many games I have to play to get these awards, then that needs to be pontificated in my contract.
I shouldn't have to put that in your contract either.
There's an NBA conduct policy, so they can apply that to him.
So here's one.
I like both the ideas.
Well, I got two more. I got two more.
The 14 balls. You got four of them.
Yeah, I got four of them.
So we're blind ranking them. That one I'm gonna put at four.
Okay,
that's what I like the least.
Okay,
this other one, because I think you're gonna have another gem. I like this other one with the 2 year. Success retention plan. If you're successful, you won't need it. But if you suck, then you go back. I like that at two. So let's see your other two.
What if I rotate picks? Like, what if there's 30 NBA teams over the course of 30 years, every team gets the number one pick?
Ooh, that could be funky. The problem comes is the money.
No, but all I'm trying to do is stop tanking. Like, all that other stuff,
we can have other conversations about. You guys can figure everything out.
I just want you to get on the court and play basketball, give the fans what they deserve. They're paying all kinds of money to come see you. You need to be on the court. You need to be trying. Because, like, remember, we argued about the play-in because I don't like it.
I like the play-in because of the fandom aspect of it.
Right, and I get why you like it, because it makes those dog days of March matter just a little bit more.
Yeah.
I understand that part of it. But the problem for me is, like, the reason I don't like the play-in is because March should matter because of what happened in December. So if you decided to sit people in December, I'm giving you a fail safe, a mulligan to make up your fuck ups. You know what I mean? So that's why I don't like the play.
The thing with the play-in is that you have the NCAA tournament element to it, of like the elimination aspect of it. So if you did play the long game and you sat James Harden and you sat these guys in December, like,
yeah, if you want to finish seventh, now, my guest.
Now you ended up seventh and you play that, was it, you played a 7-8 game.
Yeah, 7-8.
And you lose because some dude is just hot. Like Malik Monk just goes like
last
off
year when 40. Zion had 44, but then he got hurt.
He puts the Lakers out if he doesn't pull a hamstring. Mm-hmm. So, but you, like this year, Malik Monk goes nuts and he drops, because I think right now you got the Kings at 10. So you got the 9-10 with Mavericks and the Kings. Say Malik just goes on a 2 or 3 game stretch and he knocks all these teams out. Well, that's your fault for putting yourself in that position.
Yeah.
So the rotation one, I'll put that third.
So in a perfect world, we would have relegation, and that would stop tanking. But we don't have that. So, you know, because you.
But that, I think that down. Can influence tampering, because we're going to talk about it. Like, for instance, say we did the rotation. And whatever they pulled the rabbits out of the, put the names out of the hat, boom. So now you got Cooper Flagg. This year, it's Brooklyn's turn to be number one. No. This year's Phoenix. Phoenix is gonna be number one this year, but next year's the Knicks. And it's like, do I want to go to Phoenix? For whatever, like, what did they get, like seven? What was the first round pick get? They don't get that much money.
It was more than that.
It was like $16 million a year, something like that. But you're playing 82 games.
I want to say it was 14. It was like, hold on, let's see. It was 4 years. Oh no, that's NFL. My bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, because let's see. So Zach Richechet was the number one pick this year.
Yes.
And he's making 10.5 this year. And then the total contract value is $57 million over 4 years.
Yeah. And after the second year, you get your extension. So say you're Cooper Flagg and it's like, all right, I can go to Phoenix this year, or I can get Duke Boosters to pay me $6 million to come back next year and go to the Knicks.
It's not my
problem. Now I'm on billboards in Madison Square Garden.
It's not my problem.
But do you get tampering where you get boosters or New York Knicks guys? Hypothetically, Spike Lee, Knicks guy.
But you know what? But
he calls Cooper and say, listen, man, stay at Duke. I'm going to donate $2 million to Duke so you can stay there.
I have tampering rules for.
But the tampering only impacts the...
You got
to
make
impact to do that. Did it
like if you incorporate a new system, you have to incorporate new rules.
Fail safe, yeah.
So I'm gonna put a rule in there, and if you get caught doing this, you forfeit your first round pick.
I like it. All right,
you know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm saying. The last one is the one that I like the least. You know, so like I said, so before I said if you finish top five 2 years in a row. That third year, you get the last pick of the lottery. So in this scenario, if you finish top, or I keep saying top, but I guess realistically, technically, it's more like bottom. But if you finish in the top three in the draft the 2 years in a row, then the highest you can get is number four, because you're out of the top three now. I can't give you another top three pick. So I'm just capping.
So it's very similar to the one I had said at two, where it's like you get 2 years being good and you kind of relegated to 14.
Right. Right.
But if you get a top three 2 years in a row,
you can't do it the third year. Because remember, there was that draft. Was it this year? It was either this year or last year. I want to say it was last year when the Pistons got Asar Thompson. They had the odds like 2 years in a row. They were like, they should have been number one or number two by the odds, but they got number five back to back. You know what I mean? So like, that's where it gets goofy, because I don't like to do the rig stuff. You know, we talk about that. But, like, okay, so the Knicks get Patrick Ewing. You know, Cleveland just happens to get LeBron James. When LeBron James leaves, they just happen to get the pick for Kyrie. When Anthony Davis leaves,
no, first they got Anthony Bennett.
And then they fucked it up and gave him another one.
And then they got Kyrie.
And then when Anthony Davis left, you somehow got Zion. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's always this coincidence that even I can admit is kind of shady if you really think about
how often
it happens.
Pre-internet, pre-cell phone, pre-everybody spying on everything. I can see the 80s. I see, because we talk about like,
well, now they don't NFL, televise it.
Or just like the games being rigged in general. Back in the day when they were trying to develop these leagues and generate money, you got to keep in mind, back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, sports was competing with regular TV shows for the appeal of the country.
Right.
Like the NBA finals were on tape delay. Boxing was huge. Football was getting this, you know, was kind of getting its teeth sunk in because college football and NFL football is really good. So it wasn't, they needed to do things like get big names in New York City because Zion, Patrick Ewing playing it on the New Orleans Jazz. I think they were the Utah Jazz by then, but if he was playing on the New Orleans Jazz and he's this big guy who just came from Georgetown, he might've got lost in the media cycle, but putting him in New York where everything runs through New York, you need to do that. I don't think you need to do that now because, and that's why, like when you talk about, I was like, I don't think you really need to fix tanking. It's because I haven't seen it work out to the, I haven't seen it be a successful model to make your team successful. So that's why tanking to me is a problem if you can't sell out your games or if you can't put on a good basketball product. Because it hasn't seemed
to work. That's where we are.
The basketball product, I think the basketball product is everyone's shooting threes and guys are just not playing tough defense.
Well, not even about
the referees are kind of getting involved. But not even that.
They sat Lauri Markkanen for like a month. That's why they got fined. You know what I mean? Like, you got teams out here. Like I told you the other day, the Philadelphia 76ers were 23-49 and they still sat Quentin Grimes for rest. Rest what?
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, so these teams are just doing...
Well, that's because they hired all these guys from MIT to work in the building to do analytics. Like that guy said on the last comment that I don't really think about analytics. It's sometimes it's just simple common sense. And I think with these NBA teams is that you want to be successful. I think the league wants you to be successful. It's the people that are working within these individual pockets that aren't successful. I don't think it's the league's fault. I think the league has done everything as far as like allowing for social commentary and social justice. I think they've allowed for a lot of young coaches to get an opportunity. I think they've ushered in like, you know what? If you know basketball, we'll give you an opportunity. I think they put a lot of women in the booth announcing games. I think having women on the sideline as referees, I think the NBA has done everything they could realistically to make the game great. They globalize the game. They go to China every year. They make a big deal about the shoes and highlighting the shoes and giving these guys opportunity to highlight their shoes. It's all over the NBA blogs. So they allow these guys to personalize. They allow the dress code, I don't know if the dress code exists anymore because NBA players just kind of doing whatever.
They definitely relaxed it or something.
Yeah, so like I think the NBA has done everything they can do to really offer up a quality product. It's just, I think the receivers, the fans, only want a certain product, and then certain players and certain teams and certain markets drive the needle. Because you and I always have this small market, large market conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, Indianapolis is not a big market. We all know Reggie Miller, Rick Smits, the Davis twins, Jalen Rose. Detroit's not a big market. We all know Chauncey Billups, Hall of Famer, Rasheed Wallace. They won championships. San Antonio, Tim Duncan might be the least most captivating personality in the history of sports. Right. And people still argue, advocate for him as the best power forward of all time. It's all about performance. I think teams now and ownership and GMs, they don't understand or listen, your performance has to match your aspirations. You got to meet that.
Well, speaking of, I think teams are doing that. Well, speaking of big markets, and, you know, I brought up the word rigged a couple of minutes ago. You know, how fitting is it that Mr. Ovechkin, you know, who tied Wayne Gretzky tonight, has his next game against the New York Islanders? You couldn't have planned that if you tried, I guess. But no, but I think that's the thing, is that the teams just have to know that there are things in place. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be any of the ideas that I presented, but something just needs to be in place to deter them, even if it's just fining them, I guess. But, you know, but you got to be able to prove certain things, and that's where it gets a little crazy.
Correct.
So, you know, tomorrow night, we got some championships going on. You know, first of all, congratulations to the University of TO. You know, Chattanooga, the Mocs, won the NIT the other night against UC Irvine. You know, so congratulations. But real quick, before we get to the NCAA tournament, Mr. Logical, about a year ago, I brought up the college basketball crown. And apparently this college basketball crown is in session. They're in the semifinals tomorrow. We got Nebraska against Boise State, and we got UCF against Villanova out in Vegas. The dumbest tournament in the history of the world, because
isn't that like the teams that didn't make any single tournament on earth?
It's the teams that didn't make the NIT or the NCAA tournament, but have TV deals with Fox. So it's a Fox thing. And these, so Big East, Big 12, so on and so forth, a tournament of 16 teams, the 16 next teams, if you will, and then they play a tournament.
I ain't going to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's in Vegas, though. I know you love Vegas.
Yeah, wait, hold on. So it's in Vegas?
It's in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, we going to that. I mean, like, I get it. But when you are in that position, you have to do stuff like that. Like, you know what? We need eyeballs. Because I think you can sell anything in Vegas. There's a huge argument before we get into the tournament.
I did a parlay.
I think all championships that are neutral field, I think Vegas should be considered in the discussion. If you have five options, I think Vegas should be able to advocate. So I think the national championship game for football.
You think I trust Vegas after they not only took the Raiders, but they took the A's too?
They don't care nothing about that. They don't care what the jersey says on the front. All they care is that the emblem, the MLB, the NFL, the WNBA, the NHL, they're all here. We already have the facilities. We got the space. We have the hotels. If the Vegas commission came up with something, like we talked about this tournament that you have done, if they came up with like a commission and said, you know what, we need someone to advocate for us to get all of the, be included in all conversations for neutral field championships and all the sports. I could sit there and argue for them because I wouldn't even have to say much.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, we have an airport that's right here where the tournaments are. We have all the hotels that can house everyone. We have all the traffic already designed. We already have the layout of the city that lays out perfectly. We're in the middle of nowhere. So you can literally be, you can stay on the outskirts of Vegas all the way around the city, a complete 360, and drive straight to the middle where the tournaments are from any direction. I'd have every neutral site, bowl game, championship, advocated for Vegas. I can make that happen. And I'm not even like a Nevada resident, but I can make the argument. Okay. I can make that argument easier for Vegas than I could for East Rutherford. And I've been to that stadium multiple times. It's a dope stadium. Would not logistically have any championship game there. Other than if the Jets or the Giants are in NFC or AFC championship. That's the only thing I'd advocate for. Anything out of town, anything neutral, not a great place for it.
All right, well, let's take it from the top. you know, down here in the Alamo, you know, saying down the road from me, we got two very big games tomorrow known as the Final Four. You know, so we're going to start off talking about, you listening, Residente, the Duke Blue Devils and the Houston Cougars. What do you think, Mr. Logical?
According to ESPN, one of the best bets is on Houston. The gambling aspect of it, because they're playing in their home state. We've talked about the transitioning from playing in a basketball arena to playing into the Alamo Dome is a huge arena. I don't know what the backdrop's going to look like. It's going to be an elevated floor.
They always talk about the like line of sight.
The line of sight, because the fans kind of give you the backdrop, you know, like your depth perception or whatever the case may be. So it might take a while to get shots. I think Duke is a good defensive team, and I think they do well getting to the rim. So personally, I don't think Houston's a good bet, because I think Duke's players play like they were all – I think Duke's players all think they're just as good as Cooper Flagg, but they don't try to show up Cooper Flagg. Because Cooper's going to get him the ball. I think Cooper Flagg is going to be a guy. He'll go like, I'm going to say he'll be like 26, 7 rebounds and 7 assists, to, you know, in the game. And I think he'll defer, not necessarily defer, but you're like, you know what? You other four can get a crack or two. I'm going to be in this pick and roll action because I'm going to draw four eyes at a minimum, maybe even six. Depends on where I pop out to on the floor. If you don't have a 6'5", a 6'6", wing defender, 6'7", maybe, that can guard me, I'm a take him from the wing, couple of dribbles, I'm at the free throw line, I'm going to put him on my hip, I'm going to turn, and I'm going to shoot a 13-foot floater at 6'10", bigger body, big control, you know, big control body. I think that's going to work out for him. I do like Houston. I love their program. They always seem to be in these conversations every year, 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed for a lot of years recently. But I just like Duke. I just like what they do. I like their depth. I like their bigs. I like what Duke does.
Just like Duke,
I think Duke's your national champion.
So Duke's favorite by 4.5. So this is the thing. So Duke has trees, and Alabama learned that the hard way. It was just hard to get a shot off. Like, you know, they had just came off that record break.
And that 20-foot three-point line does college basketball a disservice. They might want to – if they really want more scoring, it's not enough space. If you're playing a 2-3 zone, like if you're playing a 2-3 zone and you're trying to set your play up just outside a three-point line, you're only about 22 feet from the hoop. Mm-hmm. Any 2-3 zone, the big has to flash to the free throw line to kind of create space. But when it's that close, it can cram. So the guy at the top of the 2-3 and the guy from the bottom, from the sideline, they can collapse on that big if he gets it, you know, on the left side of the free throw line extended, or even the right side, they can do the same thing. So it just makes it tough. So if you don't have a guy that can catch and shoot off the big, or if you don't have a big that can pass confidently, then you get a lot of tip balls, you get a lot of waste possessions, you get a lot of bad passes, or you just get like passes that don't really set up anything. And I think that's what Duke was able to do against Alabama. It's like, yeah, you can get the ball here, but kick it out. But that pass didn't set up the next thing. It just basically made you reset again. And now you got a bad shot with 12 seconds left on the shot clock.
Yeah, so the good news for Houston, excuse me, the good news for Houston is that they played Duke in the Sweet 16 last year. 54-51 was the final score. There were some bad calls in that game, but we ain't going to get into that. There's always bad calls in Duke games. That's just how it works. But anyway, the bad news is Cooper Flagg and Konka Nipple wasn't on that team. So, you know, so yes, you played against Duke, so maybe you remember their philosophies or you have certain things that you've learned about them, but the team is better. So that's number one. And they're tall. You know, Houston's tallest player, they have a 6'11 guy that, you know, doesn't, you know, he's not out there a lot.
You can't defend Duke's best 6'10" player, who is Cooper Flagg.
But this is where I like, this is what I like about, yeah, bad calls. I said it every time. We talk about it all the time, Mike.
Monday, anything that sounds, anything that smells like a conspiracy, all of a sudden Mike just pop up like, message.
Mondays and Thursdays, you know, saying noon Eastern. But look, this the thing, like we talk about this, you know, every time, like there's a one, you remember back in the finals? I know you remember because you always talk about it. KD, LeBron, the charge or no charge. That's what Duke does about 18 times a game. That, you know what I'm saying?
Still blows my mind that they changed that call.
So here's some motivation for Duke. Here's a quick motivator for Duke. If you win the national title, you tied North Carolina in national titles. You know, they're ahead of you right now. You'll be tied with them for third all time. But you know what's ironic about this Duke team? They seem so unbeatable. And you know what it reminds me of? Like I said, ironically, it reminds me of 1991 when this Duke team that lost by 30 the year before the UNLV somehow beat UNLV in the Final Four. That's what it reminds me of. Duke just seems so inevitable, so unbeatable. It never really works that way. It never really works that way.
I thought you were going to go Kentucky when they lost to Wisconsin.
Hey, I ain't going there. We ain't doing that.
I was just shocked. But, I mean, Kaminsky was Nation Player of the Year.
I wasn't shocked because there was those 2 24-second violations that weren't. That got called. Never mind. Anyway, so Duke this year is 1-2 against teams with top 20 defenses. Houston, number one defense in the country. Duke is also a top 20 defense. Houston, 8-2 against top 20 defenses this season. So Houston's not afraid of the moment. When you look at the coaching matchup, you know, you got Kelvin Sampson out there, the old KG veteran coach, you know, that I'm pulling for, you know, had the whole
man at Indiana. He must go through shirts. I don't think he dry cleans his shirts.
He can't.
He has to have a deal where they just, like, Joseph A. Bank just keeps sending them, just sending them new shirts. Like, dog, I can't wear this again.
Resident, see, I told you you can't please Duke fans. He wanted me to talk about him. Now he don't like what I'm saying.
I mean, listen, Mike, and this is what you say. When you say you're the unorthodox statistician, is like you're really in your bag when it comes to these stats. Because like I like Duke because the same reason I like BYU Duke's against Alabama. Like the way that Alabama played in the paint. And if Bama didn't shoot 719 three-pointers, I think BYU, because I thought that the way they play their game consistently and have consistent success playing their game, I thought that was going to carry over. That's how I feel about Duke. But when you're telling me Duke's 1-2 against top 20 defenses, and then Houston is like
8-2. So Houston has 10 games against top 20 defenses. Duke has 3. So, you know, you got that going on. You know, both of these teams over the past 4 months are 61-2. So this ain't Duke is bad. Duke's the best team in the country. Duke should win this national title. They should. You know, like that's the way it is. In my bracket, I picked Auburn over Duke in the title game. That was pre-tournament. Now that the tournament's going on, Duke is the best team. I have no problem admitting that. I'm just saying that they're going to lose tomorrow.
Oh, you're picking them to lose.
I'm picking them to lose tomorrow. You happy? Interesting. You know what I'm saying? But this is the thing about it. You know, LJ Cryer, you know, I think that you got leadership. I think that you got upperclassmen going up against the freshmen. And I'm not saying, you know, Cooper Flagg has shown that he meets the moment. So I'm not even trying to do the whole, hey, he's not experienced. He's going to go 3-for-18. Not even.
Yeah, but these guys have seen 60 more games than him in these certain situations. Yeah. So they might know, oh, this pin down screen is going to happen, so I can jump this lane and catch this pass.
And if nothing else, it's going to be a rock fight. Like, if either team gets to 70, I'll be very shocked.
Let me check the over-under, but keep going.
It's 159.5, if I remember correctly. But if any team gets to 70, throw a party, because I don't see it. You know, also, in a non-basketball kind of thing, the way that that game ended against Purdue, that inbound play, like, I just feel like that's the stuff of destiny. You know what I mean?
Well, it feels like, and you sent me the replay because I was having trouble trying to get it on, like, the apps that I was watching the games on.
Yeah.
It felt like Samson, the coach, told whoever ran to the baseline that it was going to work. It felt like he knew he was the key to that play working, because when he came off, because it was two screens, he came off one screen on the right side of free throw line extended. He ran around the other side, and the guy that was, I don't know if he was guarding the inbound or guarding the hoop, he flashed out to him when that, you know, when the guy ran to the baseline, and he wasn't even looking for the ball. It's like he knew that I'm going to run hard to this side where the cheerleaders were, and this guy under the basket is going to follow me. So for him, because he didn't, like I said, he didn't react for the ball. He didn't even look for the ball. He just ran to that spot. That dude slid, and when the pass came in, he was like jumping, like he was doing, like jumping on his tippy toes when the pass went back to the inbounder and scored. It felt like it was drawn up to draw that guy from the paint, which is a genius move.
You see all this shit Mike talking right now? Here's a secret, everybody. Mike didn't even pick Duke to win the title. But yeah, I'm taking Houston in the upset. I'm taking Houston. Okay. I'll call it something along the lines of 63-61. So then, of course, you know, we got Auburn.
I'm gonna take Duke 71-63.
All right. We got Auburn, my national title pick, going up against the Gators. But guess what? I picked Auburn to win the title. I'm not so confident. You know, Jani Broome, you know, what's his status? I know he's going to play. I know he came back last week. But in that play, I thought he literally broke his wrist, hyperextended his knee, and sprained his ankle all at the same time.
There's probably so much going on, nothing really set in.
You know, and then he walked off the court. You know, he walked off the court. And then when he walked off the court, he went over to the sideline, walked past Bruce Pearl, walked up to the teammates, and mouthed the words, "I'm done." Then he went to the locker room, and in true LeBron James fashion, he comes out and hits the first shot. Of course, you know, you're so injured, you come back and you hit the first shot. But look, right.
We can't go Paul Pierce going to take a poop and coming back on the wheelchair.
No, we ain't going to do that to the truth. You know what I'm saying? But I think Tahad like White, shit. I think Tahad Pettiford is the key in this game. You know what I'm saying? I think that Tahad Pettiford is the key in this game. Because he's been the X factor throughout the tournament for Auburn, hitting big shots, you know, because Jani Broome's going to get collapsed on. You know, you also got the matchup inside, the matchup that I like, Bruce Pearl and Todd Golden. They go way back when Bruce Pearl first got the job at Auburn.
Golden hired him, yeah.
I mean, yeah, Golden, Pearl was hired his, Golden was the basketball, he was the director of basketball operations before he ended up out at San Francisco. And then, of course, that led him to go to Florida. So there's some emotion here. So I think both coaches are going to bring out their best. They did play earlier this year, and it was one of the craziest games I watched this season. You know, Auburn jumped out to a 14-point lead. They were down 12 at halftime. Will Clayton Jr., he played for Rick Pitino out at Iona, you know, and this guy's just big time, you know. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of him per se, but he's not afraid of the moment. When the moment comes, he's the one that you want with the ball. Against Texas Tech the other day, you know, 13 points in the last 5:24 to come win that game. So Florida is ready for this moment. They have the psychological advantage because they went into Auburn and beat them this year. You know, this Final Four is awesome, Mike. This Final Four is awesome because you got Cooper Flagg and Jani Broome, who are splitting most of the Player of the Year awards. And then Will Clayton is probably third. He's probably the third after those two. So this is probably the first Final Four that I can remember in a long time that had this level of national prominence, you know, with the players involved. So Baker Mazzara, he needs to hit shots for Auburn to be competitive in this game. I think that Hawk, oh man, he came up against Texas Tech, came out of nowhere, hit a couple of big threes. So the question in this game is going to come down to how healthy is Jahni Broome. That's the question, you know. But look, I don't want to flip-flop. I picked Auburn to win the national title, so I got to stick with it. You know, I think Auburn's defense against Michigan State showed what they're made of.
Yes.
These are the two best teams in the best conference in the country. So to steal, you know, the youngins' words, it's going to be a banger. So give me Auburn. You know, I think they're just going to shut down the three-point line. Will Clayton, right? I brought him up. 26%. 26% of the points that Florida has scored in this tournament belong to him. So
that seems like a very simple defensive plan for Bruce Pearl, who I like. I like coach versus protege people, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm also going Auburn. So Auburn,
except for if you're Duke. Jimbo Fisher, I guess. You know.
Yeah. Go ask God how he gets his business done or something. What do you say about Nick Saban?
But yeah, so I'm taking Auburn, and then I'm taking Auburn over Houston for the national title.
Well, you know, I'm riding with the Blue Devils.
I really want Auburn.
I think sometimes when you have – I think we talk about this tournament being all chalk, but sometimes when you have the best players transferred in, you know, freshman phenoms – you know, seniors that are vintage, great coaching. You have all four in a one season, the Final Four. I think sometimes just having the best player on the best team, it's just common sense. Like, you can fight uphill against it. I talked to a guy yesterday. I think he had Iowa. He didn't have any number one teams in his Final Four. And I'm like, you don't have one? He's like, I just figured, like, the upset was going to happen. Upsets aren't really, like, logical after, like, the first or second round. You know, once you get to the Sweet 16, it's like, okay, who's playing with the best woman?
The cream rises to the top.
Who has the best players? Who has the better coaching? That's what Calipari is able to do, what he does in the early rounds of the tournament, no matter what he's ranked at, because more than likely, he probably is more experienced than the coach that's wearing the suit 25 feet away from him. You know what I mean?
So, like, Calipari, you need a goalkeeper.
You know, you need something that he can't plan for. Like, goalkeeper was shooting crazy threes. But if he can galvanize his guys enough to have them believe that they can beat you, then I think that gets in your head as a coach who doesn't have the same level of experience as him. So
I want Cinderella.
But after the first and second round, like, once, if you have all four in your Sweet 16, and you keep picking them, it's not a surprise. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah. So we'll see how it plays out this weekend.
We'll be back next week
to talk about it. Yeah.
I want Duke Auburn just because you got the two best players in the country going up against each other, the players of the year, if you will. You know, like I said, they're splitting them. Like, so far from my count, Cooper Flagg's won two of them. Jahni's won one, and there's three more to go. But there might have been some more in between. I just haven't checked. But, you know, so I want that matchup, not just because I picked it, even though that is why I picked it, but I just think that would be the best matchup, you know, and it's a rematch and it is what it is. So guys, enjoy the Final Four, you know, check out some basketball. OKC not getting the 70. We will be back on Tuesday. He is the world renowned.
He's going for the record. Go for it.
You know, then don't bring feelings to a fact fight.
Don't do it.
And I am 2-5. We love you. Like, review, subscribe, share, rate, do all the free things. Do all the good things and make sure you do it with a liquid death. Peace.